every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Happy Friday, folks, and welcome to another edition of First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I am your host, Ty Levine, along with my man, Nico Beef Sauce. What a weekend it was. We're here on the international break, unfortunately. Nico, it's always so sad when the first one of the season comes up and you look down and you realize, wow, there's nothing on Premier League-wise and league-wise for a couple weeks. But it does give us a good time to step back and just reflect on what's went down, especially this first international break always comes right up against the back end of the transfer window. So there's some time to really break that down. We've now seen guys in action for a couple of weeks. We're 3 weeks into the Premier League season. We're starting to feel out these teams and how they're going to perform and what players are doing what. So first of all, happy Friday, my friend. How are you?
Happy Friday, my man, Tyler. And you're right. I mean, we always get disappointed on the international breaks, but this one is for the World Cup. And, you know, this is what we've been waiting for the World Cup to come to our country, United States of America. We're all very excited for it. And these games have a lot of meaning behind them because they're all for that.
Yeah, that part is exciting, I will say. And it's crazy. There's usually a couple teams that, you know, there's always usually one that actually misses out where we're like, wow, yeah, how did that happen? So it's going to be interesting to see how these games unfold. I know there was a big upset with Germany yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and we'll run through that. We're going to run through the week three recap of Premier League. We're going to do some wrapping up on the transfer window, although not all the windows are closed across Europe. I mean, it is pretty much all the big name moves are solidified. They are done. They're wrapped up, or they're not wrapped up, lack thereof, for some moves that have fallen through, which we're going to discuss as well here on this episode of First Touch. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited for the next 2 weeks of NFL football with World Cup qualifiers, and then we're a couple weeks out from there's a nice home stretch of games from the end of this international break through the next one, and I couldn't be more excited. So hang in so there. Cool. Up next, we're going to break down the Week 3 English Premier League recap the transfer window as well here on First Touch. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce, coming right back.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here. Moment together, and we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America, premium vodka. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to First Touch here with your host, Todd Levine, along with my man, Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, I was going to go right into the Week 3 recap, but let's take some time to just talk about the transfer window that we just witnessed. It's all wrapped up now, and for those who had any sort of notifications on Fabrizio Romano on deadline day, I'm sorry, because it was ding, 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 move after move after move after move. Some of them... great move. Some of them questionable. Some of the fees, very questionable. If there was one, let's say outside of Izak, which finally got done. I mean, we've been speaking about it since I think the first week of summer. We've been talking about Izak to Liverpool and what that means. When's it going to happen? All the drama. And it's finally done. So it's official. And the league should be scared. And we're going to get into that. But was there another move over the last couple weeks that we haven't discussed yet? Let's talk deadline day moves that happened or didn't happen that stood out to you?
I mean, for me, for sure, other than Izak, Eze joining Arsenal has got to be one of the most impactful moves of the summer. As you said earlier on the show, and I totally agree with you, Martinelli was falling short in terms of expectations and growth in that team. And now we have a guy that's coming in from Crystal Palace that's proven that he can score big goals in big moments. He won the cup with them last year. Mm-hmm. Led them to a Europa League spot, although they're going to play in the Conference League because of that punishment that they got from the English Federation. But an amazing player. A player that can attack one-on-one, a player that can score goals, he can assist and definitely open up some spaces for Gyökeres, which seems like he's gotten going, but he's going to need a lot more looks inside the box to be able to have an impact on that team. Don't you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I agree with everything on the Eze, but I'm going to go the opposite direction. A move that I just don't understand, that Nicholas Jackson to Bayern.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
It's reported that the deal could be worth up to like 80 million.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's with bonuses and if they buy him. I know it's a loan. It looks like it's he already signed a 5-year deal at Bayern for $15 million loan fee. Yeah, so he signed his deal essentially for, it looks like, next summer 2026, but he's on loan this year for $15 million loan fee. Kind of similar to, it looks like, the Jadon Sancho deal. I mean, let's see if there's a cancellation clause in there, because I think paying anything even close to what I was reading for Nicholas Jackson doesn't make any sense, especially when you have Harry Kane, who I know is getting up there in terms of age. Another shocking one for me is Akanji going to Inter. I think
great move.
It's a good move for him and for Inter, but I just, like, City's defenses was the issue last year. Why are you getting rid of a defender?
Well, they have six center backs. With Akanji, there were six of them, and Guardiola plays with two center backs per game, so the space between those was terrible. And also something on the Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is a very wealthy club. They're not Saudi wealthy, but Nicholas Jackson is going to be a Choupo-Moting type of player where he just comes from the bench. Kane is number one.
Yeah.
I expect him to be number one for a long time. So,
the other news that came out was, and it's actually up there for what I think is probably the most mind-blowing news, or what kind of had everyone at the edge of their seats and you know, was shocked. Not a deal that happened, a deal that didn't happen. Gehi from Crystal Palace was signed at Liverpool doing his medical, and the deal collapsed because their replacement, Igor from Brighton, failed his medical for Palace. So they call off the dream deal for Gehi. He's been waiting for it all summer, and now it's official. Unless something gets done in January, which I doubt something of significance gets done, they lose him now on a free next summer. He's going to be a free agent, obviously. And he's based on the clubs that are interested in him, he's not going back. And he's made that clear that he's not signing a new deal. So, I mean, literally, the documents were sent, medical was done, and it doesn't happen. What does this mean for Liverpool moving forward? Because we've said that they look a little vulnerable at the back, and we've seen that this season so far.
I think that an amazing move for Liverpool, bringing in somebody that is a great defender and obviously a guy that can handle pressure, because when you play for Crystal Palace, you're always going to be some type of pressure. You're not going to be on the front foot by any means. Liverpool's going to have to figure it out until the January window if they want to add a player. But I was watching this guy scoring that goal away at Villa over the weekend, and it's obviously like a couple days before he's about to go to Liverpool. And I was like, oh my God, what an ending to his Crystal Palace career, to score that screamer and go play for Liverpool.
But I know, it's crazy.
I guess he's staying.
It is crazy. Manchester United were busy on deadline day. The reports are flying around within 48 hours of deadline day about their back. Talks with Emi Martinez are back on. There's negotiations with Sene Lammens, who's a Belgian goalkeeper, one of the best U23 goalkeepers, statistically speaking, in Europe right now, in all of Europe's top five leagues. There's a lot of debate going on. I mean, do you think they made the right call? United ended up signing Sene Lammens, who's younger. The fee was only $21 million, and the deal with Emi Martinez, essentially, they pushed to the side. They could have had Martinez, from my understanding. Like, he wanted United, and he's wanted United, has been holding off. Allegedly, he, on deadline day, was at Villa's facilities waiting for this deal to get wrapped up so he can, you know, get everything taken care of and go. And it doesn't get done, and they go with the younger player. What are your thoughts on this, and I'll give you mine.
I think that whenever you make a signing, you win something and inevitably lose something. With Martinez, you would have gained a goalkeeper that has been proven to be Premier League level goalkeeper, high level goalkeeper, World Cup winner. So he comes in with a lot of experience. Now, for the longevity of the move, who knows how long Martinez wants to play at the top level for. I would have liked Martinez to join Manchester United. I think it's a much safer option, especially for a team that is always under pressure and not for good reasons. Mm-hmm. Now they're signing a goalkeeper that has high potential, but will he be able to fit right in like a glove? Because Manchester United does not have any time for softballs, you know what I mean, in the league. So I would have liked Martinez, but what about you?
I'm up in the air on it because it gives me De Gea vibes. Young kid, I mean, coming up, a lot of pressure, and ultimately
it's such a tough
develop.
Position, Tyler.
I know, but you know, like, I think that for the here and right now, you know what I think more than anything? I think the old Manchester United would have spent more money on someone older to try and come in and save them right now. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but regardless, you have to, in 2 years, you have to go and do it all again and spend more money and get someone new in there.
Two years is a long time, and 2 years can signify you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's
yes. Tricky. This I do agree with, but I'm not upset. Like, I don't think that it was like, I can't say like, this is the wrong move, this was a bad move to do. Cause from what I've seen also, like, I will say the kid is phenomenal. Like, he is a shot stopper, which is what we've missed. That's what for the last two seasons has been the main issue. It's just simply the shot stopping. Like, there's been a lot of big moments over the last 2 years where our goalkeeper has cost us points in critical moments, in crucial moments, which could have led to better outcomes in different situations still to this day.
100%.
So all I care about is that we replace Onana, that he will never play again for the club. Ever.
I don't see him playing ever again.
He will never play. I will never have to watch him again. And I thank God for that. So I don't care who it was. And I think that that's where majority of the fan base lies as well. Like, I don't really see anyone complaining about the move, which says a lot. And let's see. But
so 2 weeks from now, do you start this kid, the young
yes.
kid?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the other options? I mean, the Bahadir, whatever his name is, Altir Bahadir, our current keeper, I think is a significant step up from Onana, but still not what we need. So I wouldn't be upset if we started Bahadir. I mean, he's done relatively well outside of the corner kick against Arsenal, where I thought he was incredibly weak, but also that was potentially a foul. He hasn't really done anything shocking for me that has, you know, led to any goals. He hasn't made any real mistakes.
Yeah,
But I'd like to see this kid just throw him in there. Like, let's see what he can do. It's away at City, at the Etihad. It's as hostile of an environment as it can get. There's two ways that it can go. I mean, it can't be worse than the Kusunov debut. And there's a situation where he can do something that, you know, that wins the supporters over immediately in the biggest game, and he can that momentum can carry him
forever, or he starts like Trafford and he makes a huge mistake, and then you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, but to be honest, I don't think he can make mistakes worse than Onana. It's like this is a win-win for him coming in. Like, it can't be worse. Like, there's no way. Even if he makes a mistake every now and then, like, it will never be as bad as it was ever. So that I can confidently say is why I'm happy with the move. No matter what we did, we needed to do. And you said it a couple weeks back. United need to bring in a goalkeeper. It's their biggest problem. We've now, for me, over the you know, grading the window, like, this is a B-plus window for me. I don't think Sesko's as good as, you know, people say, but Cunha and Mbeumo are class. And Mbeumo specifically for me is, like, he is so good, man. He's so, so good. And we're going to talk
he
about
him. He can create for
right.
himself. I mean,
I know.
Amazing.
It's amazing. It's so good to watch. And then January and next summer, we need new midfielders and probably some wingbacks as well. But yeah. Nonetheless, we're going to keep going into more transfer stuff and the Week 3 Premier League recap coming up next on First Touch. I'm your host, Todd Levine, with Nico Beef Sauce here. We'll be right back.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997, 800-659-7997, 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are presented by Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beefsauce. Nico, let's continue on with a little more of this transfer stuff. There was reports floating around, and we've kind of alluded to this, but it got very real for a minute in regards to Kobe Mainoo wanting to leave. It wasn't a report. I mean, he asked to go on loan. It was like a full-blown, it wasn't a rumor. It wasn't a thought. It was real. He asked to go on loan. It was the reports are that he's pretty much said he loves United, but he wants regular game time in a World Cup year, and he wants to get minutes, and he wants, you know, wants to play a little bit more. And United just straight up said no. Like, we can't. Thank God they said no. I wouldn't have hated it if he went on loan, but like, it's one of those things where if it was a loan with an option to buy, I would have been so sad. I just can't see how we can't find a spot for him in this team. I can't.
I mean,
looking back, to be honest, now that the window is done, I wish that we would have sold Bruno for the money that was being offered by Saudi, and brought in more defensive players and had Mainoo in his spot in the team. Like,
because now we both said that we would both agree to a very high fee. It was rumored around £80 million, which is close to 100 million euros for Bruno from Saudi. We both agreed that you take Bruno, you sell him in his 30s, and then you bring in Mainoo as a protagonist in that team, and maybe that fee would have helped you go for somebody like Baliba. But now, in this system, to fit Cunha and Wemo, Bruno and Sesko in the same starting 11, there is no space for Mainoo. You got to bench one of them, and are you going to bench Bruno? He's the captain.
Yeah, which I don't think he should be to begin with, but nonetheless. Spurs did some good business as well. They brought in Kolo Muani. I don't really understand this move. I rate him. I think he's a very solid player. After he moved to Juventus on that loan, he had a period where he was going off and was doing very well. He's a good player. I don't really know. I mean, with Richarlison playing, how well he's been playing to start the season, and they, don't forget, last summer had their record signing with Solanke, who we've barely seen play. I don't know if he's coming up an injury or something.
He's injured,
Now they're just loaded up top at the number 9. I mean, they have three viable, you know, who you could consider. I consider them all interchangeable. Like, I don't look at any one of those three and think that they're significantly better or worse than the other. It's like you just have three of the same striker, it feels like, with a little bit of different qualities. Your thoughts on the move, does it help them at all? I mean, it can't hurt,
I think it helps them. The Champions League squad for every team was submitted September 2nd, and Tottenham are missing Madison and Kulusevski. Kolo Muani provides an extra option when it comes to their attacking squad. And don't forget, Richarlison has gotten a great start to the league, and I hope he keeps going. I love to see him have fun, but he's a very unpredictable and inconsistent player, injury-prone. Yes. So Champions League football complicates everything.
That is true. Let's see. One of the moves of the summer, Donnarumma is the new goalkeeper at Manchester City. So, I mean, it's as good as it gets for them. It's as painful as it gets for me. He was my, like, what my prayer was. I really thought that we had a chance. He just wanted to play for a top club that had Champions League football. And I think I'm going to say this. If we beat Tottenham in that Europa League final and had Champions League football, I think that there's a real chance that he's at United right now.
Things would be so different if that result was to be changed, bro.
I know.
Huge, huge difference.
It's really crazy. Speaking of United, the Antony deal is Antony will never play for United again. Thank the Lord. Sold to Betis, $22 million plus $3 million in add-ons, and we have a 50% sell-on clause, which is a great piece of business for us. I mean, he has to go down as a top five flop in Premier League history for the
easily
and what he performed.
And the expectations.
And the other top five flop in Premier League history for me is Jadon Sancho, who's also signs with Villa.
It's an initial loan, part of a salary covered by United, and will activate an option to extend the contract until 2027.
It's done. He's there. Thank God. I mean, I at least Antony tried. I'll give him that. Like, he really did try his best. It just didn't work. And he tried every time he got on the field and wanted to be on the field. Jadon Sancho is one of the most pathetic professionals I've ever experienced in my entire life of watching and covering the sport. I mean, the way that he conducted himself is pathetic and so weak. I could not be happier that he's gone. I wish him nothing successful anywhere he goes for the remainder of his career. I think that he should retire after. I mean, I don't know how he could possibly show his face. It's just embarrassing. An absolute loser. Anyways, something more positive. Wissah goes to Newcastle. Him and Isak, it's funny, they both were in the same spot where they both were telling their club straight up, like, yo, I want to leave. Like, let me go. I want to go somewhere else. This isn't fair. And then both their deals get done the same day. Isak to Liverpool. Wissah to Newcastle. Great business for Newcastle, in my opinion. This guy, he's solid.
Similar characteristics to Isak, right? A guy that's dynamic, a guy that is involved both on defense and offense. But I'm waiting this whole time. I need my credit because the Greek saying came through. When the groom and the bride want to get married, nobody can stop them. And Isak finally makes the move that, in my opinion, significant impact has got to be the biggest one that we've had.
100%. The projected lineups for this Liverpool team are insane, man. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Even if they didn't sign him, they still, for me, like, Ekitike is performing probably better than any number nine in the league right now in terms of impact. Like, not necessarily, and I actually think he might have the most goals of any number nine in the league right now. But even if you put that aside, impact, top scorer, Erling Haaland, top scorer. How many? Ekitike has two, I believe. He has two, Haaland has three. So he's one behind Haaland, but regardless, the impact that Ekitike has is unbelievable, and apparently he can play on the left, which is where Gakpo is starting. And to be fair, I think Gakpo is kind of getting the bat end of the stick here. Like, he's had a great season, he's had a handful of assists and great play, but he's going to be relegated to the bench for all intents and purposes in the big games. He'll get his minutes though, because Liverpool will be in every competition and will be playing deep in every competition. Liverpool are right now three played on 9 points with a plus four goal differential, and they just added last year's best striker in the league, in my opinion. So now it's looking like Ekitike, Isak, and Mo Salah up top. I mean, Wirtz hasn't even got going yet. He's been, and we're going to talk about him a little bit as we can, but, like, it's getting crazy, bro. Like, Arsenal fans have to be just devastated about how this summer went down. Like, if I'm an Arsenal fan, like, with the business that Arsenal did, if we knew what we know now about who they were going to sign and didn't know what Liverpool was going to do, we'd say Arsenal's winning the league hands down. They'd be the favorite for everybody. But now, Arsenal have added the guys that they need to add, and we just saw these two teams square up over the weekend. But Liverpool has the edge in terms of players and manager, to be honest.
I mean, this is the highest level of football played in Europe other than Champions League, so I wouldn't expect anything less. And if Arsenal fans expect to have it easy just because they signed Gyökeres and Eze, they're out of their mind.
No,
Definitely going to go. Liverpool with this squad, in terms of potential, if we're talking about the next 3-4 years, Frimpong, Wirtz, Isak, Ekitike, Mo Salah at least has 2-3 years of top level football inside of him still. Szoboszlai, they're looking at, you know, dominating.
McAllister,
yeah.
We're looking at a Manchester City run. We're looking at what we just saw from Manchester City when Pep took over to now. Like, we're looking at that where they could go and win any given year. It's going to be everyone. You have to beat them. and it, you know, they're going to have the back to backs and maybe the three peats and then have an off year or something like that. But like, I think this team is going to, I mean, you saw Isak's interview, bro. They ask him, what do you want to win? He just looks at the camera cool as ever and just says everything. And just like,
I mean, that's why he made that move.
I know. Like, and dude,
I feel like Liverpool making I think those it's sick. Two moves. I feel like Liverpool making those two moves with Wirtz and Frimpong right off the bat set the tone for other players wanting to join that club. Because everybody's like, oh my God, they just signed two guys 22 years old that they're going to play top-level football for the rest of their career.
I mean, bro, to be honest, like, dude, I'm supposed to hate, like, this team is sick. Like, this Liverpool team is like, so dope. Like, just a team of absolute ballers. Like, people are going to look... I think the way that this team is going to look be looked at in 20 years is, like, that... Our children will be watching highlights from this Liverpool team, and they'll be like, wow, those vintage uniforms. Like, they're going to think...
It reminds me of, like, when the Avengers came together for the first time. Like, Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, everybody just,
bro,
like...
Bro, this feels like one of those teams from the early 2000s where you'll see on Instagram reels, like, the clip of the music and, like, the cameras panning down them before the game starts, and it's like... The 2025, 2026 Liverpool, and it's just like the skull emoji, and it's like, yo, like, what is this? It's like AC Milan. No, I'm not going to compare them to the AC Milan teams of the early 2000s because I think that it's a different era of football, and team that ever is assembled now could ever compete with teams like that. However, in terms of what we have in today's game, this is as good as it gets and as close as 100%.
And any team that can concede less than three goals against Liverpool gets a medal.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. It's like, it doesn't matter how good they can give up two every game. They're going to score three, four, five. It doesn't matter. But nonetheless, up next, we're going to finally recap the Week 3 Premier League season before we head off into the international break. We're coming right back here on First Touch. I'm your host, Ty Levine, with Nico Beef Sauce.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today.
Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are presented by Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. Let's get right into the Week 3 English Premier League recap. Things started off early Saturday morning. Chelsea 2-0, draw Pedro with a goal in stoppage time of the first half. Enzo Fernandez converts a penalty in the 56th. That's it. There was some VAR drama. Nico, you wanna chime in on the VAR drama of this game, or is this just a story that's getting too old at this point now?
It's too old, man. Teams get benefited by VAR. They celebrate. Teams get, you know, the wrong call and they complain. So what's new?
Fulham have officially included the Josh King goal, I believe is his name, on their like official team website or whatever it is as a stat. So they're counting it themselves, which is it's funny. All right, let's get into what was just, I mean, a whirlwind of emotion. Manchester United 3, Burnley 2 at Old Trafford. An own goal in the 27th minute by Cullen put United up 1-0 at halftime. In the 55th minute, Foster scores for Burnley, makes it 1-1. 8 seconds later, Mbeumo gets his first goal of the Premier League season at Old Trafford. It was a great response from United. Just 9 minutes after that, Anthony makes it 2-2. Jadon Anthony for Burnley. We're thinking, what the hell's going on? And then in the 97th minute, United is bailed out from Jadon Anthony, who pulled down Ahmad in the box. For me, to be honest, it was a pretty clear PK. I mean, like, do I think that he went down easily? Ahmad, yes, of course. But in today's day and age, with the visual, like the visual of the jersey getting pulled and you going down and in the box, like, it's going to get called every time, especially with VAR. So whether or not it's a dive, that's to be determined. All that matters and really all that counts is that it was given, and I think that there was, I mean, the announcers were saying this is a penalty. I'm thinking to myself, this is a penalty. I don't know if you have to disagree or if you have any thoughts on it, but nonetheless, United win 3-2. They get their first points of the season, and riddle me this. Manchester United are sitting 9th in the Premier League table, and Manchester City are sitting 13th. So is it, does Pep Guardiola need to switch up his tactics? Does he need to get removed? Does he need to walk? Like, what? People panicking, like, it just drives me crazy. It's like, dude, we are 2 games into a season. Like, as of right now, we are 5 points off of Liverpool. Like, we're not by any means out of it. You know what I mean?
How far do you think you'll be from Liverpool in 10 games?
Completely different situation. However, I think that, let's take them out of the question. We're 3 points off Chelsea. I think that within, like, there's no reason why, if we can get in a good run of games, which is going to be very, if there's ever a time where I've wanted to play City, if I needed to pick a time where I would want to, it's right now as a United fan. Cause we obviously, when we come back out of the international break, like City are not in a great position as well. So like, this is our toughest running of games coming up here. We have City on the 14th, Chelsea on the 20th. And then we have then it's Brentford and Sunderland. So if you figure, like, I don't see that, like, we also play Chelsea at home. If we could get a point out of the City game and then beat Chelsea at home or even take a point from that, like, we're not in the – we have to win one of the next 2 games, and then we're in a good spot. Because then I think that there's no reason why we can't beat Brentford. And, I mean, we could lose to anybody, but who knows the new goalkeeper? Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, listen, I will say something. If United wants to work on anything this season, it has to be the fact that even during the game, when things don't go your way, you have to keep trying at the same rate and effort like you did before. Because, like, with Burnley, for example, as soon as they go up 1-0, everything is, like, amazing. And then, like, they concede a goal and you can sense the team panicking. They have to get rid of that. They have to get rid of that way of responding, because in the bigger games, if City senses that you're panicking, or Liverpool, they might score 5 or 6 on you. Yeah. So, if anything, the mentality of the team has to switch. And again, Manchester United, after being disqualified by Grisby, they just have the Premier League to play for. I mean, what else? Like FA Cup or whatever. But that realistically, there's no reason why these players should not be giving 150% of their effort in every single game, man.
Yeah, 100%. There's nothing that you said that I could disagree with. The one thing I will add is that, did you see the story about Grimsby playing a player who is ineligible?
Yes, I did see that.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, for, like, I mean, let's, not to sidetrack too much, but, like, let's, like,
if you played a player who had an impact on the game in some capacity, like what if he scored a goal and he was not eligible to play in the game? Like
if you won my
is it not a black and white? If you break the rules, then you're out.
Clearly, if United goes after this, they will get the W. The question is, does the Grisby player coming in and you getting the win basically on the papers, does that change anything of what happened in that game? To me, it does not.
No.
Like, it's not like that player made an impact and you know, scored a hat trick. We'd be talking different if that was the case. But still, I don't know if that's the right move to make in order to hold the players in the club accountable for what happened.
I agree. And I hope that we don't do it. But for anyone like thinking that that would be an you know crazy for them to do, like also on the other side of this, keep in mind, like we just spent a bunch of money this summer. The club might want to do it because if you, you know, not that I think that we would, but if you win that tournament, that like that's it's good money into the club. And it's also good opportunities for our younger players to play in cups like that. So who knows? I don't think we're going to do anything with it, but it's a very interesting situation because I'm seeing people online saying, oh, like that's not fair, Bob. I'm like, what do you mean? You broke the rules. If you break the rules, you're gone. This is how it is.
Yeah.
So nonetheless, Sunderland 2, Brentford 1. This one was pretty entertaining. It took a little while to get there. 77th minute, Thiago put Brentford up 1-0. I had the draw on this game as well in a parlay. So in the 82nd, when Lefebvre scored the penalty for Sunderland, it's 1-1. I'm thinking, oh, wow, okay, we stand a chance. And then Isidore, 96th minute, puts it away. Sunderland get the result at home. The stadium's just electric. You guys, Sunderland fans are great, man. It's going to be a fun team to watch. I honestly like the relegated teams this year. Like, I hated when Southampton would come up because, like, they were just so boring and had no flavor and, like, there's nothing to it. But, like, the Sunderland and Burnley, like, they're fun to watch. They're exciting teams. And they're a little nippy. Like, they can really make anything happen.
Sunderland is playing very attacking football. In the
I know. It's very fun to watch. All right. Tottenham 0, Bournemouth 1. I mean, I couldn't have been more wrong about this. And this wasn't even, like, this wasn't even close. Evan Nilsson, 5th minute, first of all, is the only goal in this game. It seems like Bournemouth are going to be the Brentford of last year and score in the first couple minutes and then not score for the rest of the game and win the game 1-0. Nonetheless, though, like, prior to the end of this game, I'm seeing the stats I'm seeing here aren't okay. But possession is what it is, but let's just talk expected goals. And I don't really love this stat. Bournemouth 1.59, Tottenham 0.19. Total shots: Tottenham had 5, Bournemouth had 20. Shots on target: Tottenham had 1 shot on target all game, Bournemouth had 6.
Tottenham were home.
And I guess this is just the fall, you know, the reality check, as they say, for Tottenham, no?
100%. And also, for anybody that watched the game or even the extended highlights, this could have easily been a 3-0 win for Bournemouth. I mean, Semenyo has missed 2 sitters. Evan Nilsson missed another one. I believe there was like a penalty kick that was like really close to being called in this game. Bournemouth completely outclassed Tottenham. I feel like Tottenham maybe relaxed a little bit or just had a bad game overall. Like, none of their key players had a good game whatsoever. Vicario was probably their MVP. And they have to kind of think about this game because there's a 2-week period that they're not going to play another one. So maybe that messes with their head a little bit.
Wolves 2, Everton 3. Beto scored in the 7th prior to Huang equalizing in the 21st. And DA, great goal in the 33rd. And then Drewsbury Hall in the 55th with an absolute ripper. Gomez got one back for Wolves. Ends 3-2. I wanted to touch on this one just because I just wanted to, I mean, how happy could... You can't not be happy for Jack Grealish, no. I mean, the guy's
I'm so happy for him.
He looks great. It looks like he's having fun. He's found his football again. He had 2 assists in this game. Man of the match performance. And he's standing out. I mean, this is... It looks like that he just needed to get out of the circus that Pep puts him through sometimes, and he does this to a lot of players. And it's just, you wonder, like, where's this been? Like, this.
What a
this
luxury.
This guy's he's going off. Like, he's ripping it up, and I absolutely love it.
What a luxury. I mean, I was watching him in this game all the way until, like, the game was pretty much over. He was literally, like, taking guys on one-on-one and putting them through the ringer. And I told you a couple weeks ago in a text, Wolves, they're going to be relegated, man. I'm telling you. Like, Leeds, Sunderland, those teams look so much.
Get their
so
first
much...
point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Wolves is going to be in big, big trouble.
Yeah, I think so as well. We're going to skip over this one. Leeds, Newcastle, 0-0. Nothing really to talk about. Brighton 2, Manchester City 1.
Crazy.
Holland gave City the lead, put him up 1-0. In the 67th, Milner converts a penalty. And then Grunda in the 89th off of a bad back pass, I believe, gave Brighton the win. Manchester City sit 13th in the Premier League table. They have one win on opening day. They have yet to win since. They lost back-to-back games now, going into a derby against United. I mean, is this the beginning of the end for Pep?
I will say that in this team, with the firepower that you have, scoring one goal is an absolute failure. And I know this sounds crazy, but it's like you have Marmoush, you have Haaland, you have Jerky, you have all these guys, and you're not able to produce more than one goal. Haaland scored one, but then he kind of went silent, missed a couple good chances. You got to put these games away. They were up 1-0, and they kept Brighton inside the game. And
they don't have their KDB. It was David Silva before, and then it was Kevin De Bruyne, and now they need that guy that's going to make them tick, and they don't have
that. I agree. And some teams, Tyler, their DNA is to score a lot of goals. This City team definitely has that in their DNA, and when they don't do it, they give the other team the confidence that they're back in the game just by scoring one, and that's what happens.
Exactly. There's some teams that go up 1-0, and that's all they need to do, and they're comfortable being there. I feel that, you know, that's a good point. When City aren't scoring a lot of goals, they look uncomfortable and feel like they're doing something wrong, even when they have the lead. Like,
exactly.
The reality is that they held the 1-0 lead until the 67th minute. Like, there's no reason, you know, you do another 23 minutes, and you're at the 90. Like, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to win a game like this 1-0. And it goes back to what we've been talking about all summer, which is the problem was not your offense. It's not that you can't score goals. Your problem is that your defense gives up goals very easily. And obviously they took care of the Donnarumma signing, which, you know, he is someone that could take a game like this and make it where it could go 2-1. It ends up being a 1-0 game. So let's see how that impacts them moving forward. Nottingham Forest lost 3-0 to West Ham at home. I have no thoughts on this. It absolutely smoked every single parlay that I had over the weekend. And what's even crazier is that this game was 0-0 in the 84th minute. And then Bowen scored in the 84th, Paqueta in the 88th, and Wilson in the 91st to make it 3-0. Just an absolute and complete and utter collapse. Forest dominated them, possession 58% to 42, 11 shots on target. 11 shots, 3 on target. West Ham just took their chances.
Listen, this result, the only hope that I have is that we might see Mourinho back in the Premier League. Mourinho is the top favorite to join Forest, replacing Nuno Espirito Santos.
That would be sick.
That would be so amazing. Yeah, we need Mourinho back in the Premier League, baby. Come on, give us a movie.
Crystal Palace 3, Aston Villa 0. Mateta in the 21st via penalty gets a BS yellow card, by the way, for kicking the flag. It's a signature celebration. I have no idea what that was. Gehi in the 68th. We thought it was his last goal for Palace. It might not be now that we know the deal's off. And then Sarr in the 78th. Villa are in 19th after 3 games on 1 point with a -4 goal differential. They did a lot of business on deadline day, but are you worried for Villa? I mean, scored a goal yet?
I said it in the very first game was Newcastle. Villa look like Sunderland or Southampton. Once the ball crosses the middle of the field, they're done. They're not linking up. They're not connecting. And I know Jadon Sancho is going to go there, and he's expected to produce magic. But Ollie Watkins is off. McGinn is not playing great.
Bro, Jadon Sancho is not going to do anything there.
He's not a player with rhythm. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm concerned for Unai Emery. They back him. Like, they spend money. Like, they are not cheap on spending necessarily. But it's gonna be interesting.
Tough season to stay out of top six for Villa.
I know. All right, last one. Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0. We're gonna probably run a couple seconds late here, and then we'll wrap it up in the next one. But I mean, this game looked like it was going to a draw, Nico, until it was just an absolute moment of magic from Szoboszlai in the 83rd. How about the free kick?
I mean, FIFA style free kick. If you get this scored on FIFA, you're like, this is a game. Yeah. What a joke. But he hits it where no keeper can save it. Raya, full extension. Wall is set perfectly, and Slobotsai is able to produce magic and get a huge win for the title race for Liverpool, in my opinion.
What do you make of Arsenal's style of play in this game?
I think we'll
wrap it up in the next segment as well.
I think that they played great in the first half, trying to control the pace, but Arsenal plays best when they have the ball. When they don't have the ball, it seems like they're confused. They are, like, absolutely non-threatening. Madueke had a couple one-on-ones with Kerkez that looked promising, but no goal. And at the end of the day, no points.
Yeah. We're going to go more into this one. I got some thoughts on in the two-minute drill that we're going to go through here on First Touch. So don't move. We're coming right back here on First Touch with your hosts, Tyler Levine and Nico Beef Sauce.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to First Touch. Time for the two-minute drill here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We're presented by Sports Overnight America. Here with your guys, Tyler Levine and Nico Beefsauce. Nico, I'll give you my thoughts on this game. I think that Arsenal came here and at some point said, let's just take the point. And that's why Arteta, they will never win. I think that they can't win with him. I think that if he needs to produce something, it's just like every time there's a big game, like he tries to not lose the game. Instead of going to try and win the game, like there's no reason with the team that he has that he couldn't go and win this game today. But nonetheless, thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. It's going to be probably a little bit of an interesting show with all the stuff going on in the international break. We're going to have it figured out for you guys, and it's going to be an absolutely fantastic episode. So we'll see you next Friday. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Tyler Bean, signing off with Nico Beefsauce.
See ya.